Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 36 of the Film Club Podcast. My name is Jason.
My name is Anthony.
I'm Robert.
This week's episode, we're going to have reviews of Thor: The Dark World and Francis Ha. Yeah, but it's good to be back. What's going on, guys? Got a new setup, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I like it.
I know.
We're a little blurry on the camera, though.
So if you guys are watching on live stream right now, you know, feel free to chat amongst yourselves if there's actually other people watching with you. And at the end of the show, towards the end of the show, if you have any questions, you have any questions, just let us know and we'll answer those. But guys, what's been going on lately?
Not much.
Been, keeping busy. Got interviewed by Channel 11, WTTW. That was pretty cool. And
Sorry.
It's okay. And I don't know, I posted it on I posted it on Reddit and someone gave me Reddit Gold. So that was really cool. Not a big fan of Reddit. But it's fun when you take breaks, come back. So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, fancy Anthony over here being on TV and stuff. I don't know.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, thanks for making me feel really insignificant because nothing's been up with me, so...
All right, so you guys want to just go right into it, I guess?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Thor: The Dark World. What's this movie about, Robert?
Oh, crap. let me look.
I thought that's what you were doing.
No, yeah, I'm looking it up the synopsis right now because it's a... Okay, I'm just going to read the one off IMDb. I'm sorry. Faced with an enemy that Odin and Asgard cannot withstand, Thor must embark on his most perilous... and personal journey yet, one that will reunite him with Jane Foster and force him to sacrifice everything to save us all. Wow, that's a really terrible synopsis.
So who wants to start on Thor? Who wants to get started on it? I guess I can if you guys want.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I don't know. I guess a little context going into it. I'm not a huge fan of the Marvel films.
Go ahead.
What was that?
No, I thought you were going somewhere else. Go ahead.
I'm not really a big fan of the Marvel films. I mean, I think there's a few good ones in there, but they're mostly just good, not great. So going into this one, I don't know. I'm not sure about you guys, but I felt once, you know, they did all the work to, you know, lead up to this Avenger film, you know, that came out, 2 years ago or something like that?
Yeah.
I was hoping that they would stick with that. I was hoping, like, you know... they wouldn't go back to these singular films.
They would just make Avengers movies from
now? I guess it would make sense. I guess it doesn't make much sense to have...
financially, like, it would make more sense to just make more
films. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't help but see it as a cash grab.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah.
Which bugs me.
What do you call Avengers, then?
What do you mean?
What do you call that?
No, I just think...
bigger cash grab than a single Spider-Man. And then making three of them.
No, I just like that they worked up to the Avengers, and then I just want Avengers films. I don't need these. It feels like
it was a good
back.
Concept to build it up to that. And now that you got them together, I mean, just make Avengers movies.
I don't think I didn't like Avengers. I didn't think like the movies were necessarily good, but still, like, I rather just see them together as a whole rather than, you know, going back to this. I guess.
Yeah, I can see your point.
So that was my idea, like going into the film. Yeah,
you were wrong.
Well, definitely, because I mean,
but I was wrong. I really enjoyed it. I'll just say that.
There's gonna be another Spider-Man.
Well, yeah,
more quirkier characters too.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that out of all the Marvel films, like, you enjoyed Thor the most, like the first Thor.
Yeah,
I did too. I have to agree with you. I did too. I saw it like as like a fun, just fun movie. It had its moments of humor, and it was. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like, it was an entertaining popcorn flick.
Yeah.
So definitely I agree with you on that. This one, I thought this one was a bit of a mess the first half. I really did. I'm sorry. Like, it just didn't know. I didn't know where it was going. Like, it was just very like, the plot just was very like, it just didn't make sense. Like, there were situations that were so coincidental just because they wanted to put a character there.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So it was just like very like stupid. But then once, like, the second half of the movie started, like, once, like, you know, Thor leaves Asgard and, you know, Asgard. That's what I call it. Asgard.
Asgard?
Asgard.
Asgard?
I think it's Asgard, but I call it Asgard.
It's a big meme.
But yeah, once he leaves with Loki,
mm-hmm.
it starts turning into a great, a fun Thor movie again. So, I don't know. I mean, I really don't have much to say on the movie because, I think out of the movies that we were going to see, this was the one I was excited for. But, I was more excited to see it with you guys at the premiere. We saw the 10 p.m. show, the Thursday night before it came out.
Yeah.
I was more excited about that, hanging out with you guys and watching it than I was actually watching the movie. So, I mean, I had a fun time because we were there enjoying it. I mean, we laughed at stupid moments, and it was a fun experience in that. But the movie as a whole didn't really, stick with me. The climax is great, the fight sequence at the end.
Yeah. Want to take over at?
What is it, this Alan Taylor guy? He's primarily a TV guy. This is his first movie adventure. Alan Taylor being the director of this film. And what does it say?
Your mic is malfunctioning.
This is too low. Oh,
mine's not?
No, it's just too low. It's too low. I mean, it's not low. Just talk a little louder into it. Just kind of be on it. Sorry.
Sucks. Yeah. So I was talking about the director, Alan Taylor. And primarily his work is, this is his first adventure outside of TV. Mm-hmm. So his work has been Mad Men, Bored to Death, Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
The Sopranos. Yeah. And this is his first work outside of that. So already he has credited for his fight scenes in, say, Game of Thrones. And you can see his work in this film being more so, action-oriented. So he has that eye compared to... I was really worried that the start of the film was very... Kenneth Branagh, poetic and Shakespearean-like. And that goes away pretty quickly when he establishes it's an action movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I thought it was going to be completely Kenneth Branagh going back and forth with poetic lines and people speaking to their faces and getting all soliloquied out. But I'm glad he went to a more action route. So, which led to, I was talking to your buddy Chris about it. The action scenes were really quirky, and they reminded me of, kid movies, kid action films, say, a Power Ranger or something. Might as well have been pop music in the back, a la the Power Ranger movie, and, really, quirky one-liners. And there were quirky one-liners, which isn't necessarily a bad thing when it can drag you into nostalgia land, because this is a good place for kids.
Yeah.
And these movies were good, when you're a kid.
Yeah, I was watching it
you're an adult, and it's still good.
Yeah, I was watching it thinking, if I was a kid watching this, because, I mean, there was moments where I was this is Star Wars level as far as, effects and everything, stuff like that. So, I mean, I can imagine being a kid and, seeing this and thinking how awesome it is. But, yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed the movie. Like I said, I was a big fan of the original Thor. And I think, the Marvel films as a whole kind of rely on Loki a little too much. I mean, I wouldn't say a little too much. I didn't agree with him being the main villain in Avengers, but I really enjoy him in Thor, and I really enjoyed the interplay between Loki and Thor. It's just something you could grab onto because, they're brothers and,
right,
there's this whole redemption factor with Loki. Is he going to redeem himself? Or isn't he? And it's really compelling to watch that. I think it's the best dynamic aside from, I like the dynamic between Captain America and Iron Man, that leadership role. But, I think it's the best thing that these films have going for itself,
Yeah. Loki, I thought he carried the movie. Yeah. A lot of the weight of the film, and rightly so, because I mean he was great in it. He outshined the villain. The villain was
the elf
villain was terrible.
I thought visually, I mean, I liked everything about the dark elves or what was his name?
Pretty cool.
What was his name? Kallik, Kallikai or something.
The Doctor Who, the first.
He actually reminded me of the main villain reminded me of Dr. Ooze or Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers movie.
They're probably just like him,
like the way his head was.
It's great.
Maybe I was glad the movie felt like there are a lot of practical effects to them, with the masks and stuff like that.
Oh, the masks were really cool looking. They
were creepy.
They were creepy. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just underneath. Cool. They're creepy elves, so you got double creepy.
And then, the original Thor film, I think a lot of what held it back is you could tell that the budget was not that high for it. Or even if the budget was high, you couldn't tell in the film itself. And I think the budget here is must be great because I thought all the effects were amazing.
I thought like they went pretty crazy with the lighting in the first one. Like they're just like total darkness. Yeah. That's why I was like really wary of a movie that the first one was made fun of for their dark, you know, their darkness, and this movie's called the Dark World. So it's like, why would you even invoke that same notion that you were made fun of for your first film?
Yeah.
But I'm glad it was a pleasant surprise. The action scenes were okay. It was all good. Yeah, you were saying Star Wars, for sure. There was a lot of ships.
Yeah.
They introduced a lot of technology of these people, you know? It's like a lot of detail to sci-fi.
Did we scream Star Wars or something?
Yeah, there was one part where like I was thinking it, and one of you guys said it, and I'm like, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I remember I said, I went Star Wars.
Yeah.
That, yeah, the noises of the ships when they flew out for battle. It was like...
Yeah, yeah. It reminded you of the, you know, the, when the, what were they? In Return of Jedi, when they're in the whatever, the Ewok, the jungle or whatever, the woods. What the hell are those things called?
I don't know.
The bikes are X-Wings or what?
The bikes.
The bikes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just speeders.
Speeders, okay.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Marie.
That's not what I thought it was
Christ
called.
Marie, this information. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the human or the earth element of these films is always the weakest. Like,
yeah, it is.
It's so corny, but it was fun in a lot of ways.
You got the girlfriend that's the... What is it? She's the second in command of the business front. Mm-hmm. And then you have the quirky scientist, you know?
Yeah.
The intern. What's Kat Dennings?
She ruins everything. Kat Dennings.
The comic. I just call it the comic relief, you know? Like, the comic relief in moments. But you don't need her because... Yeah, exactly. You didn't really need her because even Thor had his moments of comedy in the... Like, you know, like in the subway.
Yeah.
That was hilarious, you know? Like, you don't need comic...
Thor's got the fish out of water thing nailed down.
Yeah.
You know, pack. You don't need
comic relief in that movie when you already have other characters doing like little subtle jokes like that. Like, what's the point? And yeah, that really did bug me.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Stellan Skarsgård, what's his name?
I think that's Stellan.
Stellan. Yeah. I guess he's crazy now after what happened to him in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he ended up in London too. That's the thing. Like, how these characters all end up in London.
Yeah. Like the plotting is definitely like super convenient to like how they could find. Like this portal, or whatever.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Again. Oh yeah, they just draw lines on a map, and yeah, that was really cheesy. But that's what happens in these kind of movies.
Yeah, but the action was great.
Definitely.
Like you mentioned, the ending, like there's this whole action sequence that involves like alternate dimension or like portals into other dimensions, and I thought it was really inventive.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Yeah, when they added that to the final like fight scene, it was just perfect.
It was great.
It makes it worth explaining switching between worlds and such.
That was a lot of fun to watch, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
there's not much else to say.
Yeah, there isn't really.
I went in pleasantly surprised. I was not looking forward.
Yeah, you were the least one there.
I was the least looking forward. And I think I was the one. Well, I know Anthony enjoyed it very much, but I really enjoyed it.
You were railing on it, and then all of a sudden you got something out of it.
That's good.
So the after credits, do you guys know about the controversy?
No, what's going on?
What is it? Tyler doesn't want. He said he's the greatest thing about the after credits spectacle is that I don't have the signature on it. He's like, that wasn't my work at all. It's the work for Guardians of the Galaxy, which is done by James Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
And Guardians, I guess, you guys know about that film?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that film is going to be one of those just really weird Marvel films with 14, like a bunch of nobodies, mm-hmm. like superheroes. And they're all like they're really wacky, and he didn't agree with the tone or anything with the film, so he's really happy that it wasn't part of him. He didn't agree with any of it. All things aside, the next film, this film, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is next fall, it seems like I really like the direction of the non-serious tone.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of 90s X-Men. Yeah. So you have these really non-serious X-Men. Like superheroes, and we're not. You really don't know about any of them. I'd be surprised if you guys know any of the characters. Oh, you wouldn't know one, the raccoon from Marvel versus Capcom.
Okay.
So that raccoon is part of the team. So that's just how crazy these superheroes are, and I'm excited. I mean, as much as The director disagreed with it.
Well, I mean, he should know, though. He's so coming into a Marvel.
He didn't know.
No, I mean, he should know going into a
Marvel. He disagreed with what? The Benicio del Toro section?
The mid-credit end sequence? Like, in the middle of the credits where they go to the Benicio del Toro's? Like,
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, I think... Here's the thing, though. He should have known going in, though, that that's what they're known for. Marvel is known to adding scenes at the end of credits.
Is that an actual clip from the film, or did he direct that part?
He directed that segment.
Okay. Aaron Taylor?
The director for the new movie, Guardians of the Galaxy.
James Gunn.
Okay. So they just cut it out.
He's a director, though. I'm excited to see it.
He's going
to
be the main character, pretty much, I think. Benicio? So I'm really excited about that film.
Oh, he is?
I think so.
That makes me extremely worried, because he was terrible.
Yeah, he was terrible in that clip.
He was so bad.
He's such a...
It was way too campy.
I think he's a lucky actor.
That's what they're going for.
He's a lucky actor. I used to think there was something very methodical about his acting, but there isn't. There really isn't. The guy's just very like blah. Yeah, like if you see the Wolfman, it's terrible.
That's such a bad film.
He's the worst actor in the world. I think he just got lucky with Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I really do.
Was he decent in Traffic? I don't remember.
He was okay. He talks the exact same way, though. He talks like this, you know.
He was bad in Sin City too.
What?
He was terrible in Sin City.
Yeah, he's not a great actor. And I think he just got lucky with Usual Suspects and Fear and Loathing. And even in Usual Suspects, though, you can't understand. He's supposed to mumble, but I mean, I used to think there was something great about him, but no, there's nothing great about that guy.
All right, so wrap up thoughts, I guess. I really enjoyed the action. I thought it was inventive. Like, going in these movies, that's what I look for, other than, like, you know, the playfulness that they have going on, which is nice. It's nice that it's not the serious tone. But I thought the action was inventive, and like I said, the relationship between Loki and Thor is kind of what holds these films up and makes them enjoyable. So I really enjoyed it. I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my take on the film, it was a good superhero film. I guess we got to get used to watching superhero films, and this was a good one. So definitely Loki always saves the day in these Marvel Universe days. And he definitely saves the day in this one. So things were good. Loki was awesome. It's a 4-star film, primarily because of Loki.
It's 4 out of 5?
4 out of 5.
Nice. All right, Rob.
I thought the first half of the movie was a mess. I really did. There was a lot of cheesy moments, just against the coincidences of the characters being in certain situations, certain spots. Certain things happening to them. It's just like, come on, really? Why did it have to be this person? Just because, you know, or they're a character in the last movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of dumb. But, I mean, yeah, it starts getting really fun, second half. You start really enjoying it. You see a lot of, like, what I loved about the first Thor coming back in the second half of the movie. So I give it a 3 out of 5.
Cool. All right, so moving on to Francis Ha.
Francis Ha.
Well, what's it about, Rob?
Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I should be more prepared for this. You told me to get the synopsis, but I'm opening all these different apps, man, on my little iPhone. All right. the plot of Francis Ha is determined to make it as a modern dancer in New York. A young woman pursues her unlikely goal with more enthusiasm than natural talent. That's a very, like,
that's okay.
Yeah,
it's kind of like it was trashing her in a bit.
Yeah,
in a way.
That was a. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm gonna give my plot. The movie is about Frances, a girl named Frances who lives with her best friend, and then she thinks she wants to be a great dancer, but she just doesn't have the talent to be a great dancer. Her friend ends up, you know, moving in with her boyfriend. So Frances, on the kind of crappy internship job that she has, and you know, she needs to find a way to find a place to live. So the movie is about her living in, like, these different areas in New York.
Yeah.
You know, while she's trying to figure out what, you know, how to survive or how to, you know, live on her own. And it's basically about, like, you know, that point in your, like, late 20s where you're, for a lot of people they can relate to, you don't know where you're at in your life, and you know, you're kind of stumbling, and you know, you have to keep hitting bottom until you realize where you're at. I don't know. That's what I thought. That's my plot of the movie. A lot more meaningful.
Yes, that was good. That was good. So what do you think of it? You were kind of the one who, not really, but you spearheaded it by seeing the film first, mentioning that you've seen it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you seemed pretty excited when it came out.
Well, we wanted to watch it when it came out in theaters. I know we were both really excited, but we never got a chance to see it.
Yeah.
I thought it's a really I've only seen like one Noah Baumbach film. I know he writes a lot with Wes Anderson, mm-hmm. but I saw Squid and the Whale. I really love Squid and the Whale. So watching this movie, I love that it was shot in black and white. It had a very like Woody Allen type of feel. Mm-hmm. The film
for sure. Well, it helps with New York.
yeah, definitely. But I also like that it was shot in black and white because it felt like for a lot of people who were in that situation, it's kind of nostalgic for them. Like that's the past. I like they can relate to how Frances, like what Frances is doing or the point in her life that she's in right now. You know, yeah. That's what I really enjoyed about it being in black and white. I mean, it's the girl is just. I'm sorry. I'm Greta Gerwig. She's fucking just adorable. I don't know, like adorable. She's just quirky. It's just watching her like is really delightful. Is what I like to say.
Yeah.
I mean. I saw this like 3 weeks ago, man. But no, yeah, it's an enjoyable film to watch. It gets kind of like you cringe at certain moments in certain scenes where she, you know, tries to put herself out there and you cringe and you feel so bad for her. And there's moments in the movie where she's just like, it's like she's like, you know, she's swirling down in like just what is like just the bottom pits of where she is in her life. You know, it just keeps getting worse and worse for her. And you just feel completely horrible for her, you know? But, you know, she is a very, I found like this innocence in her. Like, she's a very sweet person who just kept trying to survive, you know, no matter what. She just kept trying to do what she wanted to do. And I really applaud that like, as a character. She wasn't a great dancer, but she just kept doing it. She kept trying, you know, she was just very positive about it. Even when shit got terrible for her, she was always a very positive person. So that's what I really loved about the movie.
Sorry. Yeah, I really enjoyed it myself. Like you said, Greta Gerwig. My first experience with her would be the Arcade Fire performance on the YouTube Music Awards, Music Video Awards.
That was her.
And she's just amazing. Thanks, she's just guys. Like, I actually felt like that performance is in some ways a sequel to this film.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
If you think about the whole dancing and, you know, maybe she met someone. But I don't know, the film itself, I really enjoyed it. She's incredibly, like, endearing, like her character. And, I mean, the film is just full of endearing characters. I was kind of watching it and you know, there is times when you're watching a film and it, like, the way that the you know language and the dialogue that's being spoken, it's maybe not necessarily
real,
like true life or genuine, but it still was like super entertaining, like to watch, you know, like even though it doesn't feel real at times, it's still really fun. So, and then you know, just with her character, I kind of can understand what she's going through because mm-hmm. in a way she's just kind of, you know, just kind of. You know, just going through life, just kind of like going with the flow.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe lacks ambition, mm-hmm. you know, lacks, you know, faith in herself, like to do great things. So she just kind of like just lives her life and just goes from, you know, apartment to apartment and from job to job in a way. But I don't know. For me, that's why I enjoyed it a lot. Cause I just really connected to her character.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, yeah. What I liked about it though is when she lived with her best friend, like you could tell she used her as like an emotional crutch a lot.
Yeah.
Even like as like she was a very huge distraction for her life. What was going on with her life? She thought, oh, everything's great right now. Yeah. I'm not really getting paid at interning at the Stan Studio. You know, I'm living with my best friend. You know, it's fine. Everything's gonna be okay. But that doesn't last.
Yeah.
And the way she's hit with that and the way she handles that is, I think, is very cool. Like. She's just, you know, like one of my favorite parts of the movie is where she goes to Paris, you know, but like literally only 2 days she goes to Paris and she does nothing.
Yeah.
She doesn't do anything. She just sits.
Like, I mean, it's just to prove a point, but
yeah. She goes and watches a movie and then she just sits at a park, sits in the bench in the park or something. I mean, she does it to prove something that she can do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's where she realizes that she can't really, she's not really like ready to do like, you know, like, yeah, it's like. It's sort of like fake to her, you know, like this is not really, I'm just trying to, yeah, prove a point, but.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely puts on this facade that she's okay, you know, and that, you know, that everything in her life is okay. You know, she's about to catch her big break or whatnot. But you know, you could always you could tell that there's some underlying thing inside of her.
Yeah.
That it isn't okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, throughout the film, you know, she's kind of in a standstill when everybody else is growing up and you know, going on to better things, and she's just kind of left behind. Yeah, so that's pretty good. I mean, I did like that there was some aspect to, her best friend, Sophie.
Yeah.
There's something else possibly there, but you know.
Like a lesbian aspect of it. No, like I can see what you're talking about, because I know she talks about the whole speech about being in love with someone and how you just stare at them and you just like across the room and you know. Yeah. And then there's that moment that she has with her.
There's
and,
that connection.
Yeah, and it's like, it's like really strange. Yeah, I'm like, that really left it open though. Like it really left it unanswered.
Yeah, sure.
And just I think it was the biggest hole in the movie, because you were kind of confused. Is like, what is that? What does that all mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it doesn't mean like any kind of like sexuality for her. It more is like, again,
I mean, like you said, with like, she uses, maybe used her as a crutch.
Yeah.
And maybe she, you know, she's going from people to people. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that she's leaning on people. I mean, she's definitely taking advantage of situations, you know, in order to, you know, live in a place and not having to pay much rent or living rent free. But oh, fuck, I forgot where I was going with this. Totally forgot. Shit, where the hell was I going with this? All right, I have brain freeze. You have anything more to say?
No, it's weird, because I know we're supposed to see blue as the warmest color.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of, like, this is a theory. When regards to the relationship with her best friend, it was more of, like, how she emotionally felt connected to her than about the sexuality with living with a roommate.
Yeah.
So I think, again, she just felt safe.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, that's what I was trying to, the point I was trying to make. Like, yeah, she does lean on these people, but eventually it has to stop being about other people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. It has to be about, it has to be about you. Definitely. You know, the only thing, it's a really like stupid, like nitpicky thing for me. Like, it's like weird, because like whenever somebody grows up, they have to start dressing differently, more like in business clothes. When she's like, I mean, I don't want to give away a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know if people are actually going to watch it, you know, but I mean, it's, there's moments where like Frances starts kind of growing up a little bit. She gets a better job, and what she starts doing, she starts wearing like, you know, little business casual clothes, and like, come on, man, like you could still be you and be be an adult
for sure.
Like, you know, that's like kind of like, you know, like, come on, I wouldn't, you know, it's just weird. I just found that really like cliche a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but it was very enjoyable, and I thought the movie was actually pretty funny.
No, yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. Definitely. The roommates though, the two guys that she lived with after her best friend.
Yeah.
One of the guys from the Girls. I mean, at times it kind of got a little pretentious for me, the way they spoke with each other.
Yeah, you know, it didn't feel real. It felt written, but it was still, like I said, it was still engaging to watch. It's just, you know, it's not true to life too.
Gerwig wrote the film. Yeah. In case anybody wants to do any Noah Baumbach bashing.
I was surprised like when Noah Baumbach's name came up at the end. I'm like, I totally forgot that he did this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Noah Baumbach movie, definitely.
I've only seen Squid and the Whale. It's the only one I've seen of his.
Well, apparently here, Kicking and Screaming is like kind of like Squid and the Whale out of the same type of dialogue.
What's Kicking and Screaming?
Kicking and Screaming?
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's the first one he did. The first film.
Every time I hear Kicking and Screaming, I think of Will Ferrell.
No.
I'm like, did he really direct that movie?
No, not that one. It's another one. It used to be on Netflix, but they took it down.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know how else to put it, but that it was just delightful. Black and white was the great way to go, I think. Yeah. And so,
I mean, I didn't get anything necessarily out of the aesthetic. I do like black and white, so I mean, I'm usually going to enjoy that, but I guess I didn't get the need for it necessarily.
Yeah. Well, going back to a point I said earlier, I think it's for a lot of people who were in that situation. Like when you look at it, you know, when you think of you think of it as a something in the past,
like
somewhere you've been before, so you can relate to Frances. So
yeah.
I get why it's in black and white because of that. Yeah. I mean, it's actually a good reason to do it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, final thoughts.
Just delightful. Definitely worth watching. Greta Gerwig is, I need to see more of her films. I think she's great. She's adorable as hell. I don't know why.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
But yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. You know, super endearing characters. Greta's amazing, like you said. Yeah, that's about it, really. I would give it a 4.5 out of 5. I really did enjoy it. Yeah, and it to me, it felt like if you ever seen Happy Go Lucky.
I have not seen that.
It's like a hipstery version of Happy Go Lucky.
Oh, is it? Really? Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever. I don't like the term hipster, but it kind of makes sense.
I don't like labels, man. No, yeah, good, awesome.
Yeah. So,
are we gonna talk about Maniac? Because I saw Maniac for you.
Oh, did you see Maniac? What this the fuck, Roy?
No,
I'm just playing.
You guys suck with the whole group thing. I haven't seen anything.
We wrote it in the message. The message contained that.
Where?
I said, hey, I'm watching Frances Ha. Do you want to watch it, Roy? Like, are you going to watch it? You never said anything.
In the form.
In the message thread.
You need to go to a board. That doesn't work. I didn't see any of this.
What do you mean?
I saw nothing of it.
Well, I mean, no.
I think we do need to have like
a
little...
No, we need a message board. We need our own form.
Okay. We need like a page or something.
And if I did,
no, I think we do need to be more structured. Okay, what are we watching? We have to stick to what we're watching.
I'm sorry, Roy. I feel bad.
You guys
I'm trying to clarify.
Summer situation where we had endless notifications. That shit was annoying.
Yeah.
So
he's got them turned off. That's why you have notifications turned off, right?
No,
because there are in the messages.
I keep our messages alive, but it's a form. It's hard to go scroll back.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's almost impossible to scroll back. So, yeah, I didn't get any of these messages.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Roy. Well, I mean, I sent the message. That's it. What do you want me to do?
And like I said,
Maniac was mentioned a few times.
Yeah, and I did say like, I was saying I'm watching it for you. I did say that Saturday night, like I'm going to watch
Maniac.
That means
Maniac. Nothing.
Yeah. Because we were just talking about Thor, though. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. So Maniac.
Maniac.
I mean, I'm sure it's a short conversation.
Yeah, it really is.
So, I mean, do you want to? Synopsis really matter? Do you
want to
do
one off the top of your head? It's a remake of a 1980 classic about a guy who he's a serial killer in New York City. I don't even know what city this was. Was it New York in the remake? But
it felt like New York. Yeah,
yeah,
or it looked like New York. Anyway.
It didn't look like New York at all to me. But he kills women, he scalps them, and then he puts their scalps on mannequins and dresses them up like the women he murders.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much the plot of the movie. You know what? Honestly, watching this movie, I was just looking at it, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a horror movie thing for me now, but I'm just so sick of women getting brutally murdered in movies. I'm tired of it, dude. It's so misogynistic now. I don't know. I know that's weird me saying that.
Yeah.
But I'm so sick of it. And this movie felt like, even though like I love the remake, I mean the original, this movie felt really misogynistic to me. Mm. And I guess that was the point because of the way the kid was raised.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, I'm sick of it. Like, I'm sick of women getting brutally murdered, like, on screen. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't go, oh, man, that's really cool. Like, oh, look at all that gore. Like, no, I was just like, I'm fucking tired of this. Yeah. I'm tired of this, yeah. I really was. And that point of the POV was so, like, because the movie is told point of view from...
Yeah, it's first person.
The maniac, the killer, which is Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, makes the worst serial killer.
The first person aesthetic like gets old pretty fast.
And Elijah Wood just doesn't.
And Elijah, as soon as
the fact that he can overpower these
Elijah,
tall women,
yeah,
is just really
that's ridiculous in itself. But as soon as he starts talking, it's just the worst thing ever. Like, there's, you know, the film opens up where he's kind of like following a girl, and like you said, it's a POV shot. He's driving around. And then he just blurts out, "Yeah, I see you."
I know.
And I'm
it's
like,
okay.
"What
I know
is this?" I mean,
and so many plot.
It's kind of gimmick casting. Like people were excited about it because hey, it's Elijah Wood playing a maniac, you know, playing a serial killer. So that was, you know, trying to get people drawn into it because of that. But I mean, the movie is okay. Mm. I mean,
was
the gore
a killer in
the
Sin
gore.
City?
What was that?
Wasn't he a strip killer in Sin City?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was Kevin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it is really violent towards women. It didn't bug me necessarily, but I felt the violence was really repetitive, obviously, because
really
he just scalps people, and that's more or less, you know, this is the way women are off during, in the film. There is one good Achilles you know, to add to the pantheon of Achilles' heel slices, there's a good one.
Oh, you mean where he chases her out in the middle of like everybody and yeah, like, nobody like,
nobody's
sees
in
it.
New York. Yeah, nobody's out and about at night in New York.
Yeah, exactly. I am going to say though, the ending of this movie was way better. Like, I really love like the way it ended. Like, mm-hmm. The scene is exactly almost the same in the original where he, you know, I don't know if I should give it away or not. It's your podcast. You tell me. You know,
it's
you
our podcast.
You don't like giving away spoilers, but I mean, I thought the ending, if you guys want to see the ending, they compare the two of them on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I thought the remake ending was really cool. I think you know which part I'm talking about. It was really awesome. Like, oh, that's really cool. Like, really, like, artsy kind of. Like, but I thought it was really cool imagery.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the only thing that stuck with me the whole movie was the ending. Okay. I don't know, man. I was just.
The only thing I really liked about it was the score. I know I mentioned this.
Oh, the score
online,
is great.
But the score was really phenomenal.
It's very 80s, like.
Very synthesized heavy. Yeah. Kind of gives you the Drive feel.
Yeah, I guess. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I woman after woman getting scalped and stabbed and just, I'm just tired of that. I'm just, like, you know, let's do something different with horror movies, man. Let's just not all brutally murder women all the time. I don't know. And I'm not saying every horror movie does that. There's a lot of great ones out there, you know. I need them to be, like, I don't know. I would like them to be smarter than that now. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was all right.
All right. Do you want to give it a rating, I guess?
I'll give it a 2 out of 5.
I'll give it like a 2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I don't think I have anything, but what we watch, you guys watch anything outside of these films? Be it TV shows or otherwise?
Yeah, I'll do a plug. I went to the Native First Nations Film Festival, and we watched The Cherokee Word for Water, which is actually surprising because I went there and it was just surprises. I didn't really know what the plot was going to be like at all. So the plot ends up going like, is that, you know, they're calling her Wilma. It's it ends up being a historical like biography piece, but it's shot like a movie. So it was really good. And they're like, it's this historical figure, Wilma Mankiller. And she was a powerful leader for water rights and just everything. She was just a really big politician for Indian country. And it was a story of her and her first battle in like her first press to govern, like being a politician. And it was really good. It was just a normal movie, pretty mellow. Everything was just nothing really shocking with the cinematography and everything, but it was good. You know, it was a history piece. And besides that movie, which was pretty good. And besides that, there's a new channel on digital Bunny Ears, and it's channel 20 WYCC, channel 2, sub-channel 2, so 20-2, and it's the First Nations Experience, and that's like native broadcasting 24/7. So it's really awesome. Highly recommend it. They want to add, the only way they'll get that to be added to like cable and satellite is that people ask for it. So Native representation and media is like important for us and as Native Americans, and the fact that we can have it happen if we keep on writing. So yeah, that's just a plug for that. And it's really good. It's really, we have that in Canada. So they buy shows from Canada, actually, from they call it Aboriginal People's Television Network in Canada, mm-hmm. APTN. And they buy shows from them. It's a California-based company. Mm-hmm. They buy shows from Canada. They have their own shows. They want to... I talked to like one of their social media press, and they said, yeah, we want to get a new show, too. I said, like, are you guys going to do that? Are you guys going to buy the Canadian news broadcast? They're just like, oh, actually, no, we're going to make our own eventually. That's our plan. So that's really cool. California-based Aboriginal programming. And it works for us, too, as well, considering they buy Ontario stuff and our Canada stuff. So it's really cool. But yeah, that's my programming outside of the movies we've seen.
Cool. Robert?
Well, I've seen a lot of movies.
go ahead.
I know we're going to talk about this hopefully soon. Yeah. I saw Blue is the Warmest Color, but I'm not going to talk about it. But I mean, all right. I saw.
You can talk about it a little.
No, because I have a my notes are huge for that movie. Okay. I saw The Way Way Back. With Sam Rockwell, Steve Carell. I forgot the woman's name. She was the mom in Little Miss Sunshine. Anyway, Toni Collette. Yeah, okay. I think that is her. Yeah, it's actually was a it's a really fun coming of age movie. Again, another one because I love coming of age films. But no, this one's actually I know you guys hated Kings of Summer. It wasn't a really great film. And I was telling Jason if you really didn't like that one,
I enjoyed it. He thought it was watchable.
No, I felt like this one is 10 times better than Kings of Summer.
That's good.
It's 10 times better than Kings of Summer. It's you know about a kid.
It's not saying much, but yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's not a great film, but I mean, it's good. Like,
yeah, I downloaded it.
It's fun. Like, I'll watch it this week. It's about a shy kid, you know, really awkward young kid, and he literally plays being awkward very well. You know, who goes to this beach house with his mom's boyfriend and the boyfriend's daughter, you know, and he just, you know, keeps to himself. And he meets this guy who is a manager at a water park there, Sam Rockwell. And, you know, they kind of connect and he starts working there. And, you know, the kid just kind of grows grows into his own. And, you know, it's really good. Definitely really good. Sam Rockwell is amazing in that film. Like, seriously, it's really, again, really good. I also saw Promised Land, directed by Gus Van Sant, written by Matt Damon and
who's in that?
John Krasinski and
also Matt Damon's in it, right?
Yeah, Matt Damon's in it. Okay. He wrote it with John Krasinski, whatever his name is from The Office.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's pretty much about the main theme of this movie is about America and like these towns in America where these gas companies come in and try to, you know, buy the land to kind of like I think it's called fracking.
Yeah, fracking.
Yeah, to, you know, get natural gas out of their lands, you know, and how these companies try to manipulate into, you know, selling their lands for nothing, you know, and stuff like that. It's really a good story. It's definitely an environmental story, you know. Wasn't great. I mean, the best part of the movie was the directing, the shots. Again, that's all Gus Van Sant. The writing was okay. Wasn't perfect, but it was all right. And I just saw Tonight for the second time in years. Dear Zachary on Netflix. I mean, my friend watched it. Documentary, which is freaking powerful as hell. And just it's something that definitely needs to be experienced. So whoever has not seen that documentary needs to definitely watch it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I saw Dear Zachary, but it's a without spoiling, you know, the true story, it's just pretty brutal. Yeah, pretty devastating.
It is definitely. It's just about a guy who, you know, this part of the story is told up front. His friend is killed. His childhood friend is killed, and then he basically makes a documentary about, you know, what has happened to his life, you know, since he last saw him, you know, these things that he didn't know about him that you know, he wanted to find out about, you know, like what he's been up to. So he interviews his friends and family, and then kind of the story just kind of, while he's making this documentary, the reason behind why he was killed and things started to unravel. And it's a crazy experience. Definitely. It's like, cause the filmmaker was going through it. Just, you know, just the same way as the viewer was. So, I mean, that's what I loved about that documentary. Definitely. So, yeah. Definitely should be checked out.
Cool. Anything else, guys?
No, that was it for me. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the episode. That's the episode.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to talk about comments or...
Oh, is there any... Did we have anything? No, I don't think we had any.
Boo.
Okay, we had Cody watching, which, you know, thanks, Cody, for watching and helping us with the audio. Hopefully got that situated during the early parts. But yeah, thanks for listening. This has been episode number 36 of the Film Club Podcast. And hopefully we'll be back next week with some more goodness. What comes out this week?
Isn't there something on Wednesday?
Hunger Games.
I'm hearing really good things.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one. Yeah. So I'm definitely down to watch the second one and talk about
it. And I'm not sure if it comes out this weekend.
No, it comes out this weekend, yeah.
Well, I mean, the other film I was going to mention, Frozen. Disney's Frozen? No, I mean, I knew nothing about this film aside from its name, but IGN.
No, it comes out Wednesday. That
okay, familiar. Yeah. IGN gave it a 9.3, and they said it's the best Disney animated film since Beauty and the Beast. So pretty high.
I don't know. That's what they were saying about Tangled. Tangled was great too.
Right? I love Tangled.
Yeah. Now they're saying, well, it does have a whole. It does have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes so far.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I knew nothing about this film, so excited about that. We got Old Boy too.
We're gonna talk about all three: Hunger Games, Old Boy, and.
No, we could probably do Hunger Games like sometime early next week, and then maybe the following week we'll do Old Boy.
Yeah, I really want to do Old Boy.
That sounds good.
That sounded wrong, but
you guys up for Hunger Games for sure?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I want to watch it. I'm
actually going to force me to watch the first one.
Maybe it was shot again because any film that's shot in IMAX cameras, like all the
arena seats. See it IMAX?
I'm going to see it in IMAX. If you guys want to come with me, I'm going to see it.
I don't have my schedule still. I don't have my schedule yet. So I don't know if I'm working.
I want to put it out to the listeners. The battle arena sequences were shot in IMAX cameras. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a much better experience in 3D. Tenfold, definitely better experience. So, cool.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye.